From the Stereo Sound Record Studios, this is the Mosh Pit Podcast. Here is the host, Wes Everett, bringing you the best in new alternative rock and roll.
Coca-Cola, Lost Connection.
Say welcome to the Mosh Pit. I'm your host, Wes Everett, and I have a special possible co-host with me today. She's gonna see if she likes dealing with me or whatever. So, Ashley.
Hey. Yeah, we shall see, and it's gonna be more of a, we'll see if Wes can put up with me for more than a week.
The gauntlet has been thrown out, the challenge is accepted, and we go from here of, what are we talking about today?
Well, I mean, This is going to be our first one together, so I figured we'd just kind of do an intro podcast, just kind of getting to know what's going on and laying out some potential for the future of the podcast. See a lot of potential for it, so.
So I sort of like lied to her, manipulated her when I met her at Ulta in Rome, and I was like, hey, I've got this podcast, and I really need somebody cool to be on it because I'm not. And she was like, I got this. That's all it took.
Basically, I was just like, you know what? Grab life by the balls and go with it. I mean, I told you the thing that I said to myself when I turned 18. I didn't want my life to be boring, and every opportunity that you say no to is something potentially exciting that you skipped out on. So it seemed fun. It can't hurt, man.
See, I learned that way too late in life. But I also learned, like, later that even if you had said no, that's just another opportunity for me to come in and bother you and go, are you sure you don't want to do this?
I don't know how much my boss, Kim, would like that. But, I mean, I'm sure at some point she would probably come to me and go, look, you got one of two options here. Tell him yes and get him the heck up out of here. Or, yeah, you got to go, my guys.
I'll bring the wifey and she will buy, you know, like the entire store.
Yeah.
And then your boss will be like, hey, let him come in. They'll buy stuff. Honestly, keep telling them no.
Honestly, though, when it comes to that, Kim would probably be enthralled with my numbers. If I'm honest, yeah, that would probably make her be okay with it in all actuality. No, my boss she's very cool. All the girls are at Ulta. So, I mean, but I've been a working makeup artist on and off for the greater part of the last 10 years.
Oh, wow.
So I kind of stumbled out of it into the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. Spent a couple of years living and working in Nashville. After the pandemic ended, worked at Topgolf for a long time.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was a pretty cool job. I will say that there are some secret sauce things that I do miss about Topgolf. For anybody who's listening that knows, like, if you know, you know. Mm-hmm. At Topgolf, if you hear somebody walk by and somebody says, cool, cool, you'll immediately hear the response, sweet, sweet. And I say that all the time at work now, and I miss the call and response of cool, cool, sweet, sweet. I'm not going to lie. And then, I mean, I've been on and off in the music industry as well for the entirety of my life. My dad, I grew up with my dad taking me to concerts. My first concert was when I was 13. I went to see Avenged Sevenfold when the Rev was still alive. Got to meet the Rev.
That right there is called good parenting, for those of you listening. Take notes.
Yeah. My dad is one of those guys who just seems to know literally everybody. And if he doesn't know, like, that person specifically, he knows somebody who knows that person. And they can just get to talking. So I grew up going to the original Masquerade, which unfortunately that building isn't even there anymore. May it rest in peace. Mm-hmm. And I grew up at the original Tabernacle. There was the mom, if you're listening, you didn't hear this next part. there used to be this old place in Atlanta called the Drunken Unicorn. It doesn't even exist anymore. Building's gone now. But when I was 16 years old, I stole a friend's older sister's ID. She kind of looked like me. She just had blonde hair, and my hair has always been really dark. We snuck into the Drunken Unicorn for a rave with Lake Castlevania. His name is Dylan Island. Got to meet Dylan several years later. Actually hung out with him for a little while. But I just grew up running around the Atlanta music scene. And nowadays, I probably couldn't get away with some of the stuff that I did as a teenager. I mean, working on and growing up going to Warped Tour. I do miss Warped Tour, and I swear if somebody can bring it back, that would be awesome. Just
we're the mosh pit. We bring it back. That's what we do.
Let's fucking
do
it.
That's our mark on life.
Let's Hey, man, if somebody will give me the funding, I will absolutely bring back Vans Warped Tour.
That'd be badass.
Hell yeah, it would. I mean, every millennial would absolutely adore the shit out of that. Mm-hmm. Who else is going to get you headbanging or doing the Wall of Death at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. in the sunshine in, like, July in Atlanta, where it's literally in the sun like 110 degrees.
Yes. Now let me pick your brain on that one. Do you feel like the rock cruises have kind of taken away from the, like, the old school festivals? Do you feel like those kind of replaced it?
Kinda. And not really in a great way. Mm-hmm. So there is a band that, I mean, I reference this band a lot, Bad Omens. Mm-hmm. They went on one of the rock cruises, I think the one in 2022, or at the beginning of 2023. And there's an interview where clearly Noah, the lead singer, is very uncomfortable. And I have to say, like, those kinds of things, I feel like it's too close for comfort, especially with artists, because, like, yeah, you're in separate rooms or whatever, but mm. you're literally on the same boat, and you can't get distance between you and whatever artist you're coming to see, yeah. right? And I don't think a lot of people understand that, like, those are literally people. They're not like some god up on a pedestal.
Yeah.
Please leave them the fuck alone.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Now, I have heard people say, like, I listen to, let's see here, Octane, Turbo, and what's his name? Eddie Trunk.
Yeah.
The rock show. Mm-hmm. And I know one of them, he was talking about, you know, I get tired of getting asked this question about how, you know, did you see this person or did you see that person? They're like, we're on this boat. I didn't realize half the people were there that I went with, so.
Right, and that's another thing, too. Like, yeah, those boats are huge. Mm-hmm. And I feel like security, like safety, would be a main concern.
Yeah.
And it's, in theory, it's a good idea. Mm-hmm. But in execution, it seems a little bit elusive. I mean, I know that those cruises are very expensive. They make quite a bit of money. Yeah. And they go to some really awesome destinations. But at the same time, like, what happens when some old metalhead who came to see whatever band versus, like, the fucking Gen Zer who's there just to take a look at somebody who's fucking pretty. I'm looking at you, Noah. And just, like, try to be all up in their face and then annoy the shit out of the old rocker who's literally just like, bro, chill mm-hmm. the fuck out.
Mm-hmm. American slang, gypsy life.
We'll be right back.
I really kind of miss festivals where you could get, like, a little bit of the separation, like, space.
Yeah.
And also, I miss the fact that, like, this is going to sound, I guess, self-deprecating almost. I kind of miss the anxiety of timing out which stage I had to be at and how far into the set of one band I had to get before I had to dip to make it all the way across the festival grounds just to see the other band that I wanted to see. So, like, 2018 was the last Vans Warped Tour. I went and I timed it out pretty well. Mm-hmm. Finished Water Parks, which Water Parks back then was on the Kia Soul stage, which was the little stage, right? All the way over where it's at the amphitheater, for those of you who don't know, the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. They were on the stage part in the actual amphitheater. Well, on the other side of the festival grounds was, I want to say it was Black Veil Brides.
Oh, wow.
Hear me out, man. I don't care what anybody says. Andy Biersack is awesome, and I won't ever skip that fucking set because Andy is amazing. And his vocals live still translate from what it sounds like on the record very well to live. That's something that I'm also coming to notice about a lot of bands, like coming up, like newer bands and stuff.
Yeah.
You get one of two things. They either sound very edited on the record, and then they don't sound the same live. Which, I mean, I get it, like, artist freedom, but at the same time, as somebody who's kind of a music snob a little bit, I don't know, I guess I would prefer, like, truth.
Yeah.
I guess, in your vocals.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you suck, just say that, my guy.
Yeah, yeah. Ton more respect.
Yeah, no, but, like, circling back around festivals, I do miss festivals, but hey, man, look, Kevin Lyman, if you're out there and you're listening, bring it back, my guy, because the worst decision you ever made was to take away Vans Warped Tour. All of us millennial punk rock kids are very sad that we don't get to stand out in our 100-degree heat in the middle of July in Atlanta.
Yeah, I think they got rid of it for the little goth girls that were all in black.
Oh, for the love of fuck. Dude, that's... oh, my God. Gen Z... you asshats ruined some shit, okay? I'm going to shit on Gen Z for a second. Like, some Gen Z kids are okay when it comes to shows, mm-hmm. right? But a lot of them, and I hate to say it, a lot of them are only there for the aesthetic.
Yes.
And that bothers the fuck out of me. And I'm just like, dude, if you're only here because you saw the one song on TikTok, please go stand in the back and don't be an asshole. Yeah. Like, yet they're standing there gawking over whatever band because, again, I'm looking at you, Noah. You look pretty. I'm going to make fun of Noah Sebastian from Bad Omens a lot.
We're going to get canceled. One episode in on this. We're going to get canceled.
Go ahead and cancel me. Go ahead and cancel me, pretty boy. My lawyers are waiting.
There you go. Yeah, see, Amanda is short, so when we go to concerts and you always get that one douchebag that has to stand right up front, he's like 7'3".
Literally. Why the fuck do you stand there? Bro could literally stand in the back behind everybody and still have the best fucking view because yeah. he's tall as shit. I'm 5'2" on a good day, right?
Okay. Okay, so y'all about the same height, yeah.
Yeah, I'm about the same mm-hmm. height as wifey. And that's something as well that even growing up, I've always been like 125 pounds at my heaviest, soaking wet, and 5'2" on a good day. My first mosh pit experience was one that I'll never forget. It was, I think, As I Lay Dying, the band As I Lay Dying. And I wanted to jump in the mosh pit. Some dude who was like 6'3" and had to have been old enough to probably be my uncle. He sees me getting into the mosh pit. This random man. I mean, I'm kind of glad he did it because, like, it got really harsh and I definitely would have gotten fucked up more so than you should in the mosh pit. Man literally picks me up, puts me outside of the mosh pit, puts his finger in my face and says, "No, because you're going to get hurt." And then he turns me back around to the stage and I'm like, bro, what the fuck? This man immediately turned back around and jumped right back in the mosh pit. And I'm just like, okay, I can kind of respect it, but at the same time,
I'm old enough to get hurt.
Let me do my dumb shit. I'm 16 years old. I'm trying to get into the mosh pit and get a little fucky wucky, but clearly somebody's uncle said no.
Hold up. We got a little girl in the mosh pit.
Nope.
Got to get out.
Yeah, well.
Get to the choppa.
Look here, we were talking about Skynet earlier. Oh, God, yeah. Do you have time to talk about our Lord and Savior, Skynet?
Yes. Yes, we do. They are coming.
They are coming for us, whether we like it or not.
It'll be all right. I'm in a bunker. Got my guitars, my board games.
What more can you ask for aside from the occasional venturing out into the wasteland for a chicken nugget or two?
Nah, it's overrated. I've got gas masks.
Hey!
Let me give you a little funny story. I saw you eyeballing it.
Yeah.
Actually, this was pre-2020, pre-pandemic, and I was talking to a band, and they were like, we want to shoot this like post-apocalyptic shoot, blah, 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 and I was like, y'all need gas masks. And they were like, yes.
Yeah.
Can you get us some? I was like, yeah, I can get some.
Hell yeah, we can get it. Duh.
Craigslist. I bought 3 of these bitches for $20. Not a piece. The whole thing. $20.
Fuck yeah.
All I had to do was meet him like Delk Road, South Atlanta Road, you know, Atlanta.
Some sketchy shit in Atlanta.
Yeah, exactly.
For some gas masks for that cheap though? Yeah. Fuck yeah.
And then, you know, 6 months later, the world ends and I'm like, I got gas masks.
Yes.
$100 a piece. Who wants to survive with me?
I mean, in all honesty, the world did kind of fall apart after the pandemic. I mean,
the bad part is it fell apart after the pandemic. It wasn't even like during.
We were at home and we couldn't have the world fall apart. And as soon as we all got back out into the world, we had been at home. and we didn't know how to human anymore with each other. And I think that's where we royally fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah. We all got used to being homebodies. Now it's like, ooh, we got to go back out there. Ugh, there's people out there.
It's real people-y out there. Yes. I'm good. That's me on a daily basis, though, which is why I feel like introverts, like probably both of us, survived well during the pandemic.
Do you remember the meme going around talking about some, oh my God, we have to stay home? And everybody else like, I do that anyway.
Sweet.
Pass the controller. Oh, I don't have to ask you to pass the controller. You're not allowed over here.
Yay! 6 feet apart, because we're not sick.
Stay in your house with your whatever. Use your own controller. Don't get it on mine.
Like, pandemic friendships literally survived via Xbox comms and, like, Zoom.
Yes.
Like, I FaceTime. So my best friend and I, she and I had a weekly, like, girls, like, date night for the, like, best friend date night over FaceTime during the pandemic so we wouldn't go absolutely berserk.
Oh, that's great.
Joe Below, Broken Promises.
To speak to you, and I will learn.
like, I miss those.
You know the worst part of the whole thing?
Yeah.
I got marked essential.
Fuck.
I couldn't even enjoy it.
Damn. Like,
end of the world apocalypse. I can't even enjoy it.
Dang, I can't be at home like everybody else. Fuck.
But I'll say this. All those people who stayed home, stayed off of 75, and did not cause all those massive wrecks, thank you. I could get to Savannah in 3 hours.
Exactly.
It was great. Can we have another one, please?
Please? Because all you asshats who hop on I-75 and the 285 interchange every day, fuck you. You are the problem, and I'm going to need you to piss back off to wherever you moved to Atlanta from. We're full. Go home.
Yeah. Everybody talking about building a wall? Build it around Georgia.
Please, because, like, we had enough. All right, look, I get that the movie industry is in Georgia now.
I thought they left.
Did they leave?
I don't know. I can't keep up.
I can't either because I haven't worked in the movie and television industry in a long time. I mean, I worked on The Walking Dead for a little bit, but, like...
Nice.
I mean, I honestly, once I got out of that, I kind of jumped out of the movie and television industry, mm-hmm. and I was just like, and I'm good.
Going back to music.
I'm going right back. I did, pretty much. I mean, and working in music, honestly, God, we'll talk about this in the next episode, but concert etiquette is garbage, and honestly, Gen Z, it's your fault.
You know, I'm gonna go out on a limb. I'm gonna say it's always been garbage, and it's on both sides. Because I'm gonna hit you with that one when we come back to this. Because it's not just the people who show up; it's also the other bands that play.
True.
That snatch their wires and get the hell out of the door before the next band's even on stage yet.
Oh, for fuck's sake! Oh my God. Yeah, and. My buddy Caleb, he works in the industry, and he actually just did a music festival that he does every year, Suwannee Music Festival.
Oh, nice.
And he says that there's some artists that he refuses to work with just because of how garbage they are as mm-hmm. people. I mean, in the music industry, especially when your background... Like, you're behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
You either get treated like garbage or gold, and there's really no in-between, which is something that I came to find out very quickly and in the harshest way possible.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, especially if you're a girl working in the industry. It's not really so much like this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it still is a little bit, but not as harsh as it used to be. Being a girl in the music industry, especially, like, in the background roles...
Mm-hmm.
Used to be very much sexist, you know, people Sounds being right. like, you're a girl, why are you here, you can't do jack shit. Meanwhile, backstage, while I'm, you know, lifting cases and shit and moving stuff around in the back, putting out, you know, guitars and shit, tuning stuff, setting up a drum kit, and everybody...
Making sure the green M&Ms are full.
And it's only the green ones. Gotta remember that, guys. Oh my... Some fucking artists, their writers are insane. The most insane one I've seen, I'm not allowed to tell you which artist it is by an NDA, but I will say that she is a very popular pop star who has a bad tendency to hang out with somebody who lives in a pineapple under the sea. If you know, you know.
Put your guesses in the comments below.
Yes, because now you probably know exactly who I'm talking about, but I'm not allowed to say exactly who she is. Well, it was one of the first major shows that I ever worked, and she was finishing her first world tour.
Wow.
The United States portion of it, anyways. She made somebody pick her up and carry her from her green room to the side stage, and then she made them do the same. She pulled off those very high boots and was immediately, like, grumpy and trying to take that very high ponytail out. I understand, like, that you're tired and, like, your feet probably hurt and you have a headache, but you have to treat people like human beings. You can't be a bitch.
So when you say carry, were we talking like piggyback style? Are we talking the over the threshold?
Kind of the over the threshold thing. And I mean, I get that you've just done a, you know, hour and a half set in those really high go-go boots, and those things have to be ow. But, like, dude, picking you up and carrying you? Come on, my guy. Come on.
Yeah. Get you a little scooter. Get a little scooter and just scoot to the back.
Apparently, she's much better now.
That's good.
And also, like, she was very young at that point, too. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's just, and there have been other people as well. I mean, my friend Caleb has worked with a lot of artists that he says they're really awesome. Some of them are trash.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's, when I lived in Nashville, I was lucky enough to frequent the same bar as Danny, the drummer from Greta Van Fleet.
Oh, wow.
Danny's a cool dude. Very cool dude. He's really good at darts.
Oh, nice.
He's really good at darts. Yeah. Nice. And surprisingly, Danny's not as tall as you'd think.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And the twins are a lot shorter than you think. Josh and Jake. Yeah.
That makes sense. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say this, and I know I'm going to get hate for this. I'm not a big Greta fan.
Really?
I tried. I really tried.
Okay, can you tell me why you're not a big Greta fan?
I don't know, honestly. They've got a lot of Led Zeppelin influence, and I'm not a big Zeppelin fan.
Okay, yeah.
So, those kind of together. They had that one song that was, like, everywhere.
Yeah,
and I enjoyed
Highway
it.
Tune.
Yeah, yeah, and I enjoyed it for a little while, but I grabbed the album, and I was just like,
yeah.
Anthem,
I think Highway Tune was on the album From the Fires.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did Anthem of the Peaceful Army.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did The Battle at Garden's Gate. And now they have their current album. And I probably will get some hate for this. I'm a Greta fan, but I don't like the current album.
Really?
I am not a fan. It's, I get, like, in an interview, Sammy, the bass player and the little brother for the Kiskas, said it was very much going back to the garage.
Hmm.
And, I mean, I can kind of hear some of the influence from, like, the From the Fires album in it. Like, I can hear the style. But I'm not a fan. I mean, and there are some songs that Greta does that I'm just like, cool beans. I mean, but also I have a Greta Van Fleet tattoo. I have all my love in Jake's handwriting. So
that's cool.
Yeah, on the back of my arm. So I mean, am I a Greta fan? Yes.
Yes.
Don't care for the current album though.
There's nothing wrong. There's a lot of bands like that I'm a fan of, and then they'll drop an album and I'm just like, So before you judge me, this will be the part, ladies and gentlemen, if we find out if she sticks around. So I'm a Nickelback fan.
Come on, man. Nickelback gets too much fucking hate.
Absolutely.
Why do people hate Nickelback?
Because they took one key element to their songwriting and used that from then on.
Exactly.
Every song is overlapping. But again, I'm an AC/DC fan.
Me too.
Who a long time ago learned that they mastered the three power chords.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
If, honestly though, if you find something that works for you,
100%.
Stick with it. Like Metallica, those really dark, broody guitar parts that James writes just does well.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Metallica live in 21 for the first time. That was actually where I discovered Greta Van Fleet. They opened for Metallica. And I have to say, Nickelback, I've only seen them live once and it was okay.
Yeah.
I am a Nickelback fan. I like Nickelback,
mm-hmm.
but after the live show, the one time, I'm good.
You're good? Yeah.
I'm good.
So you're not gonna go see their documentary?
No. No, you got that, Coach. You can just give me the fill-in.
Yeah, I said that to a buddy of mine. I was like, bro, I just got us tickets. He was like,
what the fuck?
No, don't talk to me again until you sell my ticket.
Yeah, the circling back around to Led Zeppelin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that band was problematic from the jump.
Yeah,
they were, because Robert Plant, he couldn't write original shit for himself. That band was always in trouble,
mm-hmm.
because Robert couldn't keep his fingers out of the honeypot of somebody else's.
Yeah.
Does Robert sound good, like, as far as, like, the old records?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he sounds good. He's got a very unique voice.
Right.
And Josh Kiska, in interviews you can hear Josh say, you know, they are Led Zeppelin inspired, definitely mm-hmm. were in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Josh's vocals were very much Robert Plant inspired.
Right.
I mean, and I can hear it, but the one thing I'll say about, like, that is, at the very least, Greta Van Fleet wrote their own shit.
Yeah, true there.
Good
true
for
there.
You, Josh. Good for you, bud. You write your own songs there, big guy.
Here's the thing about Zeppelin for me, and this is coming from an Atlanta boy that... how long have you been here? How long have you been in Georgia?
I've lived in Georgia for the entirety of my life, okay. aside from some stints in other states around okay. the Southeast.
Okay, so you're going to know where I'm going to go with this.
Go for it.
So, living in Atlanta, we've had... The only rock stations we've had mm-hmm. have been classic rock.
Right.
All the way back from 96 rock to KZ106 to...
99X.
New Rock 100.5.
96.1 The Rock.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And whatever that 95.7 was, or not 95.7, what was it? 105.7.
Yeah, 105.7.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that lasted a blink.
I think it lasted for like 9 months. I want to say it did.
Yeah.
And then it got picked up by iHeart, and then they flipped it to something else.
Yep. Yep. So the only thing that we've ever had in this city, state, whatever, Southeast.
The Southeast, let's be real here.
Yeah. It's all been classic rock, so it's all been the same four songs that they've been playing since they released in 1972.
Yeah, that's the fucking truth, and I hate it. See, and the occasional Fleetwood Mac sprinkled in there for good fucking measure.
Yeah, but only like two songs.
Yeah, and it's always Rhiannon or Chains.
Yep.
And don't get the good Stevie Nicks shit.
You might get Stevie and Tom with Stop Dragging My Heart Around.
Yeah.
You might if they're feeling
froggy. Yeah. And it's like Saturday at like 2 o'clock in the morning when nobody's really fucking listening.
Yep. Yep, 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 yep. Like, oh, did I mention The River?
No, that one. But, like, yeah, you're not wrong. And it's, I mean, I remember 99X was my dad's go-to station.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know it's back.
Is it?
It's back.
Dad, if you're listening, tune in. No, but I remember 99X, and my dad is a huge Van Halen fan.
Nice.
Dad was so sad when Eddie Van Halen died, but I remember there were pretty heavy Van Halen songs in rotation on 99X.
Yeah.
Dad would always crank up the radio when anything Eddie Van Halen came on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, what other band? There's like so many just like, I guess what's considered dad rock now.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says. Dad rock is awesome.
There's probably dad rock when I was a fucking kid.
So, I mean...
Especially if it's anything classic rock. Pink Floyd, Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Stones.
The Wall by Pink Floyd. Oh, God. Favorite album, I will say.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the movie?
Yes.
Okay.
It's awesome.
You passed. You passed the vibe check on that one.
You hear that, guys? I think he'll keep me.
No. Abby K. Narcissistic.
You got it twisted. Got me in a fit. You think you know shit.
Good. Fucking
Dad Rock.
I was Dad Rock. Okay, yes. So tell me why I was scrolling through, you know, good old TikTok a couple of months ago, and apparently one of my favorite bands, actually my favorite band, period, Asking Alexandria. I have Reckless and Relentless tattooed on my rib cage for a reason. Danny and Ben have seen my tattoo and have told me that I am fucking awesome for that shit. And then they asked me, so it hurt, but was it worth it? And the answer is a resounding fuck yes. Nice. So apparently Asking Alexandria is Dad Rock now, and I'm very sad.
What?
Yes.
When did this happen?
I don't know when it happened, but I'm like very fucking sad about.
They haven't been out that long.
Asking Alexandria.
Well, mainstream, folks. Okay. Mainstream.
Come Asking Alexandria formed in 2005, Ben Bruce and Danny Warsnop were the founding members of the band. Now, there was a stint where Danny left the band, which we don't talk about that stint because the singer that they brought in to replace Danny when they did the album The Black, the way that he left the band was very controversial.
Yeah.
And he called them out, and he said a bunch of bullshit that he shouldn't have said, and he got very much canceled, and now he ain't shit. If you're flipping burgers, fuck you, guy. Yeah, but apparently Asking Alexandria is Dad Rock now. I mean, but honestly, their dads, Ben has like four kids. Speak of Ben, Ben is leaving the band at the end of the year. Yeah, I mean, we've had a bunch of good years with Ben. This is Ben's passion. He got through the project that he wanted to get through.
Yeah.
I mean, Ben will obviously continue to work in the music industry. He's never going to give it up.
No.
But it's time for him to be a husband to Sierra and a father to those kids. I mean, and I can't blame him.
So if Asking Alexandria is now a Dad Rock band, does that mean My Darkest Days are too?
Oh, God, don't start. My feelings are hurt. You hear that, people? He's hurting my feelings.
Listen, I was a huge fan.
I
was a huge fan of the, you know, their alternate bands, because they were all brothers, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and they just kind of jumped 3 Days Grace, yeah. My Darkest Days. You got to include Nickelback in that, because he signed them to their label.
Yes, yeah. He did. Yeah, and then speak of Nickelback having their fingers in other people's honeypots. So, there is a band called Marianas Trench. They're from Canada, just like Nickelback, right?
Yeah.
Josh, the lead singer for Marianas Trench, he spent quite a bit of time with Chad Kroeger in like the beginning days of the band forming. And they were on that record label for a while. Speak of Josh, fun fact for you about Josh Ramsey.
Yeah.
Josh Ramsey wrote Call Me Maybe by Carly Rae Jepsen.
Really?
Yes. Josh Ramsey wrote Call Me Maybe, and he was nominated for a Grammy for it. Did he win? No. Should he have? Yes. Josh Ramsey is a, like, talent-wise, really good artist. Met the guy. Little off-putting, but, I mean, he's famous and he knows about it, and he's allowed to do it with that much credit to his fucking name.
Yes.
Josh Ramsay, you're an awesome guy, my dude. You're just really scrawny in real life.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. When we start talking about Oscars and nominations and Grammys and other nonsensical bullshit, Rock Hall of Fame?
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Yes.
The Odd Even Whiskey.
You know what? I'm going to stop this one here. We're going to get into that one and what'd you say? Concert etiquette?
Yeah, we're going to get into that one in the next episode.
Because everybody knows I love to talk about the Rock Hall.
We'll get into that in the next one.
Nice. We're out. You want to do the outro?
Thanks for listening, guys. Till next time.